thank you for being with us on this occasion of spiritual festival in a spiritual dimension with this.
Hare Krishna, everybody. Let's pinch your space up front. Come up front.
Yeah, you're all welcome inside. Anyhow, I'll start. Spiritual life is what we're seeing on this festival. And the essence of the festival is it's a big celebration. Chanting, dancing, feasting. Everyone is dressed up in so many ways. It's a party. Funny hairdos and fancy hats. Everybody's out there doing something, right? Because it's a festival and we're celebrating. Still, the festival is not your ordinary, you know, Friday night on the beach party, if you know what I'm talking about. At any club, you go inside, you know what's cooking, right? But you're not sure who you're going to wake up with tomorrow morning, possibly so, right? That can happen. What to say? Or what comes of it after a few months? Spiritual festivals are so different because there's no alcohol, no prostitution, no meat, no gambling, nothing of these sorts, and still people are having a good time. How is it possible? Well, let's go back to basics. Basics means, who are we? First, let's understand who we are before we relate to what's around us. So, Bhagavad Gita gives us this understanding. The Bhagavad Gita explains to us, na jayate mriyate vakadachin nayam budva vanabhuya na handite hanyamane. It is said that the soul never takes birth, the soul never dies, and the soul cannot be killed. And in this way, the Bhagavad Gita is establishing that the soul and the body have a separate existence. The two are now combined. Here we are, in one existence, soul and body. And what are you? Well, the question can be asked, do you have a soul? No. We are soul. Because the soul is eternal, and the body, 80 years, 90 years, 95. In my town, when you make it to 100, the mayor comes to your house to congratulate you. That means there ain't too many in the town, that's for sure. Otherwise, he doesn't come. So, in this way, we can appreciate we are separate from the body, the soul. The soul exists eternal. That's who we are. That's the spirit. And the body? Yes, the body. The body is a machine. We're inside. Yantra rudani mayaya, says Bhagavad Gita. A yantra is a machine. We're moving in this machine. The soul is lending energy, and there it goes. The hand goes up and down, but on the energy of the soul. The body itself has no energy. What's the difference between a dead body and a body that's alive? Only one difference, the soul has left the dead body. Because it's the soul that gives life to the body. So this is the first thing to understand. The difference between body and soul. when we are speaking about sexuality and spirituality, that's exactly what we're speaking about. We're speaking about the body and we're speaking about the soul. The sexuality relates to the body, and in so many ways, bodies can be engaged, like in that way, in sexuality. And all over the world, not only human beings, but also animals and so on, all living beings, somehow or other, are driven by sex. That is the force that drives us away. And it belongs to the body. It's part of the body. And you can see that, you know, in a 7-year-old, it's not there because the genes and the hormones are not yet, have not yet come to that point where it becomes manifest. But, you know, give it another 7 years or 6 years, and, you know, 13, 14, boy, it's like suddenly the hormones are taking over and sexual desire becomes strong and becomes a big driving force in us. It belongs to the body. So once, you know, I was in a university in Pretoria, and there was a girl, a student, and she had, she said, you know, I have 10 boyfriends, I like them very much, and what's the problem with that? You know? So, and then she said, yeah, what's the problem with sex? So I said to her, I said, well, you know, it's good for you that you are enjoying with your 10 boyfriends, but there is something higher a woman can do, and that is to have a child. Because when you have your 10 boyfriends, you're enjoying with your 10 boyfriends, but when you have a child, you make a sacrifice for your child, and in that you become a greater person, in that you grow. So therefore, but if you have 10 boyfriends, then the kid will not know who the father is. That's also confusing. So better you have one man and 10 kids. That's settled that. Of course, nowadays, not everyone wants 10 kids. Anyway, but you get the idea. The point I'm trying to make is that ultimately sex is part of the body, and everyone feels attraction to sexual activity. That's normal. But there is one complication, and the complication is it doesn't come alone. The sex will bind us more and more to the body. More stronger and stronger to the body, consciousness in the body, and we completely start to identify with the body. Then, life after life, we have to take birth and take another body. Now, if you're with the body, you don't only get that enjoyment. It's like the enjoyment is one thing, but what about the other parts of the body? When you're lying in a dentist chair and he's drilling a hole in your tooth, at that time, do you want another body? Those are the moments when I think, I never want a material body again, no more, no more. I want to get out of this material world. I want to go back to the spiritual world and have an eternal spiritual body, because pain, who wants pain? That's the issue. But the body has it all, see? The body, it doesn't come alone, it's a full package. The body is a package. You cannot be blind and just see only one side of the body. You cannot only see this blood, this body brings me so much enjoyment. Yes, very nice. And then what else does it bring? Huh? I mean, and with time, the enjoyment goes down. Yes? I mean, I'm like, you know, next week I turn 62. That's old. That's old. You know, you may say not so old, I say old. You try.
Ow.
In the morning, I wake up.
Ow.
It hurts. It starts like that. You know, as soon as I wake up, it's pain. I try to stretch it away. It always moves around. It's always somewhere. I never know where it's going to be, but it's somewhere in that body. Every day. This morning was in the back. So I did some stretches and this and that, you know. Put some medicinal oil on it, you know. That I got some special stuff that always does it. And I sort of did it. And here I am. Propped myself up. Yay, Ratiyatra. One more down the belt. You know? I should get a medal, you know, for how many Ratiyatras since 95. Yeah, that's 20 years. See? 20 years. 20 years of Durban Ratiyatra. Wow. Yeah. So we should get a medal. Yeah, so it's the 20th. Well, so. And that's how, so the body is not offering us enjoyment alone. Sex also. Hey, sex, how much does it satisfy? Does it fully satisfy? And for how long? And then, you get some byproducts. And are they wanted? Sometimes they are, sometimes not. Yeah. But it's no problem, because I saw the other day in Mangasutra in Umlazi, just outside the university, that abortion was safe, same day, and only 200 rand. Cheap and best. Right? So, just see. Problem solved. Yes. And the karma. The karma for murder. The charges. Because abortion is murder. Murder in the womb, but there is a living being there. When the baby is out of the womb and you cut the throat, they'll come to pick you up, right? The guys with the blue lights, they come for a visit to the door and put you in the back and take you in. But abortion, not so much happens. No. Not now. But after this life, the reactions come, karmic reactions come. So the point is, sexuality always has strings attached. The boy wants the girl, it's gonna cost him a lot of money. That's how it works. You have to, isn't it, guys? You have to spend some money if you want the girl. That's the ways of the world. I like that. Yes. So what to say? My point is not to highlight these things. My point is, no matter how we turn it, sexuality never exists as an isolated thing. There always are many things connected to it. If you want to do it in an honorable way, then you have to be married. Now, all right, maybe you want to be married, but sometimes you don't want to be married. That's the nature of being married. Some people really want to be married, but then they have moments that they really don't want to be married. Or some guys really don't want to be married, never, never, and so on, and then. So, so many complexities, but it doesn't come alone. And it weaves a web. It weaves a web of entanglement. No? I'm a sannyasi for many years. celibate. Life is so simple because I don't need. See, since I don't have a family, I don't need a house. I don't have a house. What do I need it for? I don't need it. Because a house you need when you have a wife, your kids, all that, then you need a house. I don't need a house. I have no house. I stay somewhere. I'll find a place to stay. I don't have a car. Because, you know, start when you're alone, need a small car. Then, yeah, after a while, you change to a four-wheel drive to get the family car. And it just grows. And then, after a while, you need a few cars. And then, you know, a whole bunch. It expands. So, sexuality by nature leads to expansion. Somehow or other, even when you try to avoid the responsibility and you're on the hit and run program, then it costs you money. Right. So there is no way around it. No way around it. We have to understand that sexuality entangles us. That's loud, thank you. Good. It entangles us with the body and material nature. That is the point. So, okay. Now let's shift to the other half. If we invest in the soul, then we invest in spirituality, in spirit. Then less for the body, less energy into the body, less for the material energy. Why worry so much about these things? It's, you know, the problem is that the world is oversexed. They make too much of it. They just make too much of it. It's not that good. It's not bringing that much happiness. We may have some attachment there, but how much? But happiness, fulfillment? No. Fulfillment only comes on the spiritual platform. Right? That's why we're here. We would not have come to this festival if there wasn't something in us that got sparked, that got touched, because we feel a need for something deeper, something more meaningful than just the things that the world has to offer. Even if sexuality takes place in love, right? In romance and love, which is like the highest material manifestation of it, it still entangles us more and more into bodily existence. Spiritual life, spirit is eternal. The soul is eternal. And the soul has an eternal relationship with Krishna. When the soul enters into a material body, that soul enters into a dormant state. The soul falls asleep and lends some energy to the body, but the soul is not really part of it, because the soul cannot enjoy matter, so the soul cannot enjoy the body. The mind, and the mind enjoys the body. It's the mind. Then, the soul, when we do some service for Krishna, then the soul awakens. And it is there where another taste develops. And the more service we do for Krishna, the less interest we have in the material affairs. Therefore, between spirituality and sexuality, if we have to put weight on the spiritual side by doing service for Krishna, and then gradually, then the other becomes small. But if we put all the weight on sexuality, then the spiritual side becomes small, and we get more and more into the body. And then gradually that side gets all the weight. And we get also, as you get more and more into the body, we become more selfish. Because we're all separate bodies. See? And then it's about me, my enjoyment. And then others are to be used by me for my enjoyment. So bodily consciousness is that. That it's about me and all others I use for my enjoyment. Now in spiritual life, yes, there also is sexuality, yes, but it's not in the foreground. It's there. Of course it's there. And there's family life and all these things. And that's not a problem, but it's not the main thing in life. It's in the background. And those who go spiritually very deep, who invest a lot of energy in service to Krishna, and give their whole life, they couldn't be bothered with such things, and just say, let me be free. Let me be completely free from bodily entanglement, from entanglement in this world. As I said before, it creates a network. You know, you fall in love, you want a child. Yes, nice. Now you have to think, what school? Oh my God, that's not the right school for my child. What do I do now? But if you move to this other place, then there, my child will get a proper education. Yeah, but darling, we just put a payment down on the house. Yeah, I know, but my child, you know. And then we have to move. And we lose some money, but anyway, we move to that other location. Because it's a chain of action and reaction that entangles us more and more and binds us. And then you grow old and gray, and then the kids are growing up, and then you think, oh gosh, how are we going to put them through school and education, and I really wanted to go to university, and then the rascals are not serious at university. Right? So much struggle. It's a whole network of entanglement. So therefore, the more we take to spirituality, the stronger we get spiritually, and the less these material things mean to us. Therefore we chant every day, minimum of 16 rounds. And without these 16 rounds, we cannot follow four regulated principles. Therefore it begins with chanting Hare Krishna. And then comes four regulated principles. Sometimes they go hand in hand, but, you know, if someone says, I'm following the four principles, but I'm not chanting, then all I can say, it cannot last. It cannot last. It's okay, nice, but it cannot last. If you don't chant, it cannot last. See? Because it's the chanting that lifts us up above the bodily platform. Without the chanting, we stay on the bodily platform, and then your resolve to follow four principles is happening in the mind. If you're not chanting and following the principles, then it's a mental decision. By this decision, I will follow these moral standards or principles. But that is weak. That is weak. Balavanindriyam gramam vidvamsamapi karasati. It says the senses are so strong that even someone who's learned is struggling. Even when you know, is struggling. But when you are spiritually surcharged by devotional service, you get mercy. So when you're chanting, you get mercy. That's why chanting is so important. Swamiji, I really like your movement, but the chanting. The chanting. Look, I really don't like the chanting. Then you don't like this movement. Because this movement is chanting. That's what it is. It's about chanting. Don't say you like this movement. Maybe you like the pakoras and the koftas and all the preparations. But the real thing is chanting, is devotional service. Because that's the source of... There we are rendering service to Krishna, and Krishna then reciprocates with us, and something in the heart will change. Suddenly these lusty desires, they go down. You know, there was a time when I, instead of harmonium, used to play guitar. Right? And in those days I played different songs, and one of the songs that was quite famous in those days was "It's a Saturday Night and I Ain't Got Nobody," and I knew how to play it on the guitar. Right? But I knew in those days, I learned how to play that song because it was very popular in its days, right? These days, Saturday night, I go to sleep, you know, and I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy to go to bed so to get an early Sunday morning. You know? So what to say? Spirituality. Krishna is accepting our service, then Krishna changes our heart. And that interest, our interest changes, you see. And gradually, we get a higher taste. A taste for spiritual things. Spiritual things brings you only good. Well, everything you do in this festival is a blessing. See, not only now, but it's okay, we're having a nice festival. Yes, how was the Rati Yatra? Yes, it was nice, there were lots of interesting things. Okay, that's good, but better than that is that at every moment, in every tent, in every corner, you get spiritual benefit, which is eternal. So devotional service always has this dual dimension, the dimension of benefit in the here and now, and benefit in the eternal. You know, you drink your prasadam drink and it quenches the thirst. Benefit for the tongue, but also benefit for the soul. Soul drink, there you go. You can. Where do you get it, you know? In this tent, right there. Soul drink on the counter, right behind those two guys there. Keep an eye on them, okay? I've counted the cups, eh? And it's for free, is it? There you go. An eternal benefit if you drink one. Only heroes will do it. Yeah. You have to prove that you are a man. Yeah? And drink one. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Show it to us. Yes, you can do it. Yeah. There you go. There you go. I didn't do it yet. He's working on it. It's a man's drink. Anyway, the point is that spiritual advancement we are making. At the same time, it's hot and stuffy in the tent. Right? And the drink goes down well in that kind of, in this sticky Durban climate, I would say so. So it's natural to have a drink, but it's a transcendental drink, and thus it has been offered to Krishna, and Krishna has blessed it. And because it's blessed, if you drink it, the blessings come to you. When the blessings come to you, something changes. That's all. Some people think, what is it in that food? What do they put inside? Is there some drug inside, maybe? No. The only thing that's inside is blessings. The blessings of the Lord. But they are powerful. A life without the blessings of the Lord, where is it going? Where is it going? You try. There you go to, you know, nowhere. Nowhere. Nowhere, no good. That's what happens. So blessings are needed. Blessings of the Lord. Everybody, many people in the past have understood that that is needed. Blessings of the Lord. And of the devotees of the Lord. So that is spiritual. such blessings you get when you render service, when you do something for the Supreme Lord without asking, just watch the time, without asking anything in return. That's how we get. So that is the nature of spirituality. So in this way, we are not speaking out against sexuality, but we think it's not the goal of life. See, it's not the all in all. Yeah? Even having kids is not the all in all. You know, many women especially may desire a kid, and you know, there's something in the nature. There's no doubt about that. And that's fine. But family life is not everything. It's not everything. A family life without spirituality, where does it go? Where does it take you? What's the difference between an animal family and a human family if there's no spiritual life? Dharnena hina pasugirsa samana, says the Sanskrit text. Without dharma, without any spiritual life, human life is the same as animal life. So we are, in this way, thinking, first the soul, first the devotee. Let me invest in that. And then, all right, you know, then family life follows that. That's fine. But first devotee. That's all. So simple. And then everything falls into place. So that is my message to you, and that's like the, it's simple. And you naturally step in where you fit. You know, like when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was not alone, right, at that time. So I was for 24 years in the Grihastha ashram, which is the married ashram, 24 years. Right? And now 4 years in the Vanaprastha ashram, and now 18 years in the Sannyasa ashram, and 1 year in the between the Brahmacharya ashram. Something like that. Whatever. But, you know, it doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with family life. That's fine. But first the devotee. That's it, you know. And then choose your ashram. Then it's right. And then sexuality also falls in place, etc. First a devotee. It's about being a devotee. It's about, yeah. It's not like, you know, in this day and age, right? Spirituality is something, you know, it's an add-on, right? You go to a church, you say a few prayers, it's an add-on, yeah. It's like, but it's meant to be full-time. It's meant to be the first thing in your life. And that because the soul is eternal and the body is temporary. Then you're going to invest in the temporary. Temporary is the most important. You're going to give that all the energy. Have a drink. I offered my water to Krishna. Blessed water. I'll have a drink. Because we need the blessings for the soul. Because I want to invest in the soul. I want to... The more benefit for the soul, that's going to last. Benefit for the body, I got a new house, okay, nice, you know. Now it's new. Just wait a while. Maybe not so new anymore, you know. Everything new, right? New for a while, and then, you know, next year will be old, yeah? I mean, and if you always want something new, yeah, then next time, I got a new husband, or I got a, yeah, I traded it in. Yeah, you always trade in, you know, trade in your phone, trade in the car. And then I was thinking, why not trade him in as well? It was time, you know. It was an outdated model. What to do, you know? It's time for an upgrade. That's the world we live in, you know? Constant upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. Yeah, an upgrade. Yeah? Time for an upgrade. But that's not really, doesn't make sense. But others will say, no, 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 no. We'll stay together. We'll stay together till death us part. Well, don't worry. Death will part you, I'm sorry to say. But it will. Because that's what happens, you know. Hand in hand, bone in bone, skin in skin. You know, in the old age home, still in love. I mean, we have just celebrated our 75th wedding anniversary, and you know, your grandfather is 95 and your granny is 92. Yeah, 75. Oh yeah, 75 years since we tied the knot. Whoa, you know, congratulations. This is a party and a half, eh? It's beautiful, but then death will part. Then what? So you know, in the history of India, I have a few moments. There is the story of Shah Jahan, and Shah Jahan, he was a Muslim ruler who had his headquarters in Agra, and he was married to Mumtaz, right? And you know, Mumtaz somehow or other, she died during childbirth, and the child became Aurangzeb, you know. He was later a very cruel personality, and later, when he grew up, he put his father in jail, and he locked up his father. So, first he came into the world, killed his mother, and then, you know, then he locked up his father. So Aurangzeb was a nice fellow, and I'll tell you more about him in a moment. But anyway, what happened is Shah Jahan lost his wife, and he loved her so much that what he did, he built this building which is now known as the Taj Mahal. Now, what was his plan? He built the Taj Mahal, all white marble and so on the Yamuna in Agra. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to build on the other side of the Yamuna a perfect copy of the Taj Mahal, the same building again, but this time black. So he had a white one for Mumtaz, and then a black one for himself, that when he would die, that he would be put into the black one, the black mausoleum, and then there would be a bridge in between. And in this way, still together, even after death. This is beautiful. How romantic. Oh gosh, hot wash. Rubbish. You know, two graves with a bridge in between. So Aurangzeb said, forget it, you know, dead. Forget it, you know. I mean, it cost us a fortune, you know, to build this this tomb for Mum. We're not going to build the same thing for you as well, you know. He put his dad in jail, kept the money, and, you know, and the second one got never built. Ah, jeez. It's a drama, isn't it? It's a real sob story. It's a soap opera. At the end, we can have a moment of silence for Shah Jahan and Mumtaz. How their eternal love got interrupted by his cruel son. Anyway, so till death us part is really the best one can get out of a material relationship. Not more than that. But whatever you vest in the soul is eternal. Therefore, let us keep in mind the priority is the soul, and we should do something for Krishna, who will then bless our soul. And those blessings on the soul, they will make a person effulgent. They will change our life. They will make us completely free from all the bodily suffering and problems. So, in that way, what can I say? That really is the way. Therefore, before you leave the tent, have a drink. It's for everyone, men and women alike, you know. But you are most welcome. Because the blessings of Krishna are very valuable. And I thank you for listening for the last hour. I hope it shed some light on why. On sexuality and spirituality, and some food for thought. So, food for soul. Thank you. See you again.